We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Hour number 3, Dale and Keith, Sports Radio WEEI. Big time in the NFL tonight, the annual NFL draft, which they have turned into a multi-screen extravaganza. I mean, I'm pretty sure you can pick it up on HGTV if you want.
It's everywhere.
Yep.
Anywhere you turn.
Chip and Joanna will be hosting the coverage there on HGTV.
It's a big deal.
Helping us look through this whole thing right now from NBC Sports Boston. And friend of the show, our buddy Tommy Curran. Hey, Tom, how are you?
What is going on?
Just another day at the office, right?
This is great stuff. And you know what? It always is like this on draft weekend. It ends up we get this little flurry of 70-degree days in the middle of April, just when I'm going to be shut into the vault at Gillette. But that's all right.
If you were a betting man sitting here right now, do they take a football player at 32 tonight?
No. Oh. I think no. But don't groan yet, Richard.
Oh, come on.
Because they could go up. They could certainly go up. You have a team in Seattle who at 21 is dying to get out of there and add picks. The Patriots don't need a dozen draft picks. They had a dozen last year, and only three of those players even saw the field. So you don't need 21 freshmen and redshirt freshmen running around to training camp. So I would not be stunned if the Patriots packaged a little bit to move up.
Is it tight end, or is that too obvious? Because I feel like every year we all make predictions on who the Patriots are going to take, and not only do we not get the player right, we don't even get the position right. But it feels like tight end makes the most sense.
I think we did all right last year. We didn't get Isaiah Wynn, but we understood that a tackle was a big need.
Yep.
So running back was a massive swing and a miss for all involved. But, yeah, I think tight end, and it's a little easier on tight end since there are really only – among the general cognoscenti, two guys deserve to be first-round picks, and that's Noah Fant and T.J. Hockenson from Iowa. So if Fant falls to 21, and there's debate about whether he would even do that, and Hockenson's probably going to be a top 12 pick at least, then maybe they do look at that and jump up and do it.
So you are not of the belief that Irv Smith Jr. is first-round caliber?
I got to be telling the God's honest truth. In most instances, Dale, I'm looking over the shoulder of other people who've done much more work on it. But no, I mean, he's kind of a, I would say he's a Dustin Keller-esque type player. Can be productive in the passing game, but he's not, you know, a pounding blocker. So the kind of guy you can get in the second round.
Do you think they take a quarterback tonight or tomorrow in the draft?
You know what I'd love to see them do? And I know that I've already said that they were being used as a stalking horse initially, and Adam Schefter this morning on Mutt and Callahan said that they haven't made any calls. That's my understanding, too. But they should go get Josh Rosen with the 32nd pick. If they're just going to pick another defensive lineman or soup of the day at tackle, go get Josh Rosen.
Yeah, but Tom, don't you think
have a chance to get a player of that talent at any time soon?
But don't you think the soup of the day is at least going to help you next season try to win another Super Bowl, whereas Rosen's not going to help you for another couple of years?
Yeah, how much? How much? How much did Dominic Easley help? How much did Isaiah Wynn help? How much?
Well, Sony Michel helped, right?
Certainly. Absolutely. But how much did Dominic Easley or Malcolm Brown? I mean, these guys are not tipping point players. You have to at some point address the fact that you got the 199th overall pick and he ended up being the greatest quarterback of all time.
Right.
But you got a better chance of hitting on a quarterback if he's top 10 talent, which Josh Rosen was, and in my opinion still should be, then if you're going to take Jacoby Brissett and Rohan Davey and Jimmy Garoppolo and Ryan Mallett and Kevin O'Connell and roll the dice there.
What do you think, Tom? What do you think?
There,
what do you think Tom Brady's thought would be?
I'm not going to continue to babble for one.
You go ahead. You go ahead. Yeah.
If he dropped to 32 last year, Rich,
right?
Do you think the Patriots would have jumped on him? I mean, I don't know whether they dislike his the cut of his jib or whatever, but God, I mean, it's too good a player to just let him sit there.
What do you think Tom Brady would think is if they use their first round pick to trade for Josh Rosen?
Well, I think that tomorrow morning he would say, "Well, it's Friday." because that's what they always do.
Yes.
I mean, it's nothing that he's not accustomed to. And I can't imagine him saying, wow, we had to have Jay Sternberger there. I can't believe we didn't do it. Now, I don't know if Josh McDaniels would be, you know, turning cartwheels or, you know, any of the offensive staff, but or the scouts who've been beating, you know, Monty Austin Ford or, you know, Ziegler, all the guys who've been, you know, beating the bushes for however many months to go and trade for Josh Rosen. And I don't think they're going to do it either. I just think it makes sense.
Bill Belichick has never expended a first-round pick on a wide receiver since he took over here. Do you see that changing in any way tonight?
I don't, simply because these receivers are not a great crop. DK Metcalf is kind of a Kevin White 2.0. I think Deebo Samuel and A.J. Brown, who are the guys who are the most versatile, they look like second-round picks to me. I actually really like Paris Campbell from Ohio State because he seems a little bit more slithery, explosive. He's got a 40-inch vertical. Some of these other guys, like Deebo Samuel, they're so rocked up. I just worry about whether or not they're going to be durable players in the NFL. So I like Paris Campbell from Ohio State if they were to make a move at 32. And some people have mocked him to the Patriots at that spot.
This is going to be the 20th draft for Bill Belichick. Of course, Nick Casario has been a part of a bunch of those drafts. Where do you think he kind of ranks ballpark in the league? Is he one of the best at drafting, one of the worst, somewhere in the middle? How do you view him?
Bill?
Yeah.
And Nick?
Yeah.
I think they're probably in the top five, easily. I mean, you're at the back of the first round over and over and over again.
Right.
And what they've done, the reason they're easily top five, is working the draft. It's not the decisions that they make on the players that they pick. It's the number of trades they've made that have yielded great players. And we can go right down. It's Vince Wilfork. It's Ty Warren. It's, you know, over the last few years, you know, Hightower was a move that they made. Chung was a move they made. Mayo was a move they
made. McCourty, yeah.
Yeah, so that to me is, you know, we get hung up. I get hung up and, you know, already did on this phone call about, you know, Dominique Easley didn't work out, Malcolm Brown someplace else. But they have to pull these Houdini tricks to try and leverage things. And that's why another thing, excuse me, I could see them doing is leveraging that 32nd overall pick, saying to somebody, you know what, you want to come up and use this because you want that 50-year option? Give me your first next year. And that's a way that they can get up in next year's draft, which is quarterback heavy, since they're not going to go get Josh Rosen, which is a drastic mistake.
I think we've established that.
Yeah.
You would not agree with that decision.
No.
When you look at the needs for this team, and they've got several of them, the cupboard is bare at a couple of positions. If you ranked them like 1, 2, and 3, what are the positions that you think they've got to try to get some help on?
In terms of the house is on fire, tight end, and then wide receiver. I mean, you could end up, what if Demaryius Thomas heals brilliantly and Josh Gordon finds himself completely, and now you have Julian Edelman, Demaryius Thomas, Josh Gordon, Philip Dorsett. It's a nice compliment. But I still think those two spots are hope against hope. So tight end and wide receiver. Then I think you still need another tackle. And after that, I think the main one would be, you know, we could talk about edge a little bit, but I really think the way the league is going, you need to have Patrick Chung insurance and a guy who you can turn into the next Patrick Chung, because safety to me is very underrated among people in terms of talking about what the most important positions on the field are. I think safety is absolutely vital, so I'd like to see them look at that spot, and there's some good players in the draft there too.
A couple of years ago, they traded a first-round pick for Brandon Cooks. They only had him for the 1 year. Then they got another first-round pick for him. That's been one spot. I agree with you. I think overall they're good on draft day. They're good either at players or making trades. But wide receiver, for the most part, has been a really tough spot for them to pick. If they get a veteran guy, if they make a trade tonight or tomorrow or even on Saturday, who are some of the names that possibly could make sense for them to make a trade on?
The highest and most prominent one is Nelson Agholor with Philadelphia. He's in the last year of his rookie deal. They picked up his option, and he's making about 9.5. Now, I know that we're going to look at that and say, holy crap, that's three times what Edelman is making. Understood, but that's the cost of doing business, unfortunately. But Agholor would make sense because the Eagles are spending a ton of money on wide receivers, and he's a player who's got talent. He's a former first-round pick. We saw him in the Super Bowl make some absolutely ridiculous catches. He's a productive player. He can play inside and outside. And he's a taller player, so he's a good complement. They'd love to move Edelman out of the slot and back to the outside, or let him do some more versatile things. So if Aguilar could be in the slot, that would be helpful.
Do you believe that the Patriots and Tom Brady will reach a contract agreement before the start of training camp?
I do.
Or maybe I should say, do you believe they already have?
No, I absolutely do not. I don't think that has... I don't think any progress has been made, you know, just from the conversations that I've had since the Super Bowl, during the Super Bowl week, and since the Super Bowl. I don't think any progress has been made. So I'm basing it still on Jonathan Kraft's comments when he was with us on Boston Sports Tonight at the Super Bowl. And he said, I said, he's never entered the walk year of his contract before. And he said, well, he hasn't done that either. You know, check back with us, you know, when training camp starts and see if he's still in the walk year of his contract. So I'm going to continue with that until we hear otherwise. And I can't imagine we're going to hear otherwise. It'll probably just happen.
Right.
He's probably going to sit there and say, what do I need to get into another car accident like I did in 2010 to get this thing done? Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
We came to our senses. We saw Todd had the accident.
I got to lock him up. What's going on with Ben Watson? I heard Schefter this morning saying Ben Watson could be making his way to the Patriots.
Well, that was a wouldn't be surprised couching
okay.
to it, which is, I understand, I've done the same thing in the past when you have things that people are amenable to, but you don't know if it's going to happen or not. So if the Patriots go and find a tight end or two, and I wouldn't be surprised if that happens, they might not be in the Ben Watson market. But that's a guy who has still shown that he has the ability to play in the NFL, produce in the NFL. He's done it with the Ravens and the Saints in recent years. He's probably a better pass catcher now than he was when he was with the Patriots. So, and when you talk about, you know, creditable humans in the NFL or the United States, mm-hmm. he is one of the most impressive people I could think of. So, would be a welcome addition if he did come back.
There was some thought out there that if Jeffrey Simmons were available at 32, would there be a possibility of the Patriots taking him? This is a guy who had some severe issues in high school, including a videotape. Supposedly, once he got to college, he got his act together and has been fine since then. But with video out there of this guy pounding on a woman in a parking lot in high school, would the Patriots even go near this?
Well, I mean, I think we understand how rarely Bill Belichick yields and bows to what he believes is going to be the public perception. And I think at times Bill is, you know, flouts what the public perception is going to be. I'm going to do what I'm going to do, and I'm not going to make any apologies for it. And I think that, honestly, in this day and age, to have the courage to do that and the job security to do that is to be admired. I mean, we don't want people to be in a position, regardless of the offense. I'm not talking about domestic violence, but regardless of what someone has done in the past, there do need to be people who are not going to bow to the mob and in whatever the pursuit is and say, I'm not going to do that because of what everybody will say. So, all that said, they'd have to go into deep research on Simmons, character research, psychological evaluations, everything else involved. If all those checked out, I don't think that there's any doubt that the Patriots would be a team that would say, we will bet on this player and put our faith in him. And I think it's a larger conversation than just to talk about him, and I think it's a societal conversation now as to who deserves a second chance? When is the second chance okay? How long does penance have to be served? Can penance even be served for some things? And that's why I don't want to be glib about it and say, yeah, they should go get Jerry Simmons. But I think that when we get to this point, when these guys are 20, 21, however old they are, and they're coming into their professional careers, it's a conversation worth having.
Have you heard anything about Gronk? Is he enjoying his retirement? It's probably a little too soon to regret the decision or to think about coming back, but any news or updates on Gronk?
I think he couldn't be happier being retired. I mean, I saw him in Southie in just a happenstance, saw him on the sidewalk at a charity event that he was, you know, lurking outside to bust the chops of his buddy.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked. He couldn't have been happier. Earlier this week, he put out an Instagram post of him riding through the woods on a mountain bike, saying that he just wants to ride his bike and get lost and be at peace with nature and find himself. He's giddy. I think that it's the idea that we all hold that he is going to be on the verge of coming back is wishful thinking, not just on our part or Tom Brady's part or maybe some people around his part, but I just don't think he shares in that. I think he's really reveling in a little bit of freedom for the first time in a while.
He seemed really happy when he was at the Bruins game.
He sure did.
So ago.
He sure did.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, you got no responsibilities and you got no one telling you what to do. And he's a guy who always listens to what he's told to do, I think, over the course of his life. So I think it's probably pretty liberating for him at 30 to have this for the first time.
All right, Tom, so you think we have to stay up till 11:30 to see that number 32 pick, huh?
Well, I would imagine the Bruins might be in their sixth overtime by then, so yeah, you'll be up anyway.
Please don't say that.
It could happen.
Come on.
It could happen. Playoff hockey.
On your device. You can follow it on
That's
the My
right.
Teams app. We'll have plenty of coverage there.
Good.
Tom, we appreciate the time as always.
Thanks, Tom.
All right, guys. Take
Thank you.
Tommy Curran, NBC Sports Boston, WEEI's NFL draft coverage is brought to you by our good friends at Dr. Robert Leonard and Dr. Matthew Lopresti at 1-800-GET-HAIR, Village Automotive Group, and Town Fair Tire. We've undertaken a little task that we're going to bring to you at 12:30 today.
We sure have.
And we did it individually. We separate efforts
ballots.
Here.
Separate ballots.
And we tried to come up with the five best draft picks. Not named Brady.
Not named Brady. Under Bill Belichick.
Under the Bill Belichick era. And the five worst draft picks of the Bill Belichick era.
A lot of drafts to pour through. This goes all the way back to 2000.
Yep.
And I think you'll notice that we have different criteria for what makes a great draft pick. Not to give too much away, I feel like the worst draft picks, there's a lot more overlap than the best draft picks. Between Dale's list and my list.
You know I don't like spoilers.
I know that. But it's also sort of a tease ahead. We got to sort of tease ahead a little bit.
Ah, yes, radio. Got it.
But it is fun going through all the drafts and remembering back to like the night that they took certain players. Like, I remember I was doing a draft show when they drafted Ryan Mallett. I was like, why the hell would they take this guy? Now, I know he was supposed to be good value, right?
Right.
Ryan Mallett, he thought maybe he could be a first-round pick, but he was just a disaster.
Old takes exposed didn't get you on that one, did they?
No, they did not. No, they still got me on Terry Rozier. I'm like, really? That's the one you want to get me on? I've probably had plenty of horrible takes.
I mean,
but saying that Terry Rozier wasn't a great draft pick, I don't know. I kind of stand by that one still.
To Tom's point, which is very valid, sometimes we lose sight of the fact that they're always picking at the end of the first round.
Right, right? Exactly.
The highest draft pick of the Belichick era is Richard Seymour, right?
I think that's the only top, well, Mayo was 10, and Seymour
was six.
So they had two top 10 picks in 19 drafts. Yeah, I mean, and then those picks is because they made trades before to get up there.
So we undertook the task of trying to figure out, and again, Tom Brady doesn't count.
He doesn't count. It'd be a little anticlimactic.
Yeah,
I mean, the best pick in the Bill Belichick era.
Your Honor, the prosecution stipulates that the best draft pick of the time.
We don't count that one.
We know that one.
It's out. That one's out.
We leave him out. We tried to figure out the other, each of us individually, the five best picks of the Belichick era, the five worst picks, because he's had some clunkers.
By the way, every general manager does. Every single general manager has. It's one of those things. It's like when you watch a baseball team every single night and you complain about decisions the manager makes. And you just assume that no other manager would do that. It's like, well, you're not watching them every single day. Like,
exactly.
We don't care. I haven't studied every single Jets draft pick. In fact, their drafts are worse because they're missing on top 10 guys. Or they're drafting Geno Smith super high to be their future quarterback. I think he was a second rounder. But they're taking guys like that, and then they're busting. That's even worse than if you miss on a guy in the second or the third round. So it is a little bit trickier trying to grade how they've been picking.
Spoiler alert.
Uh-oh, Rossi, earmuff it?
It's not a huge spoiler. Generally speaking, Belichick's pretty good in the first round.
Yeah, he's had way more hits than misses in the first round.
Which, you know, is to be expected. If it's first-round pick, the guy should be a player for you.
Yeah.
But keep in mind that they're always picking at the back of the first round.
Yeah, it's a lot different taking a guy, you know, for example, Sony Michel was picked 31, Saquon Barkley was picked 2. So when you look at running backs in the first round, like, all right, they were both first-round running backs, but that's a big gap in between the two.
And having said that, Sony Michel was a very valuable member of a Super Bowl-winning team.
And then Isaiah Wynn, TBD, we'll see. Can he be the left tackle, or is he going to be a guy that's fighting injuries throughout his career and, you know, you have to draft somebody else to take over? Because even some of the other guys, when you looked at, like, Lawrence Maroney and Benjamin Watson, on the surface, not great players, but they didn't fizzle out of the league. You didn't have to just, you know, cut them. Those guys were starters for you. Hell, Benjamin Watson's still playing. Lawrence Maroney certainly wasn't great. Like, you could have done better there, but he was the starting running back on the team for a few years.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's not a great pick, but it's certainly not a bust. And we haven't really seen a first-round bust until one of the guys that I'm sure is going to be on our list.
So that's going to come up in just a couple of minutes. We're going to try as best we can to figure out the five best picks of the Belichick era, the five worst picks of the Belichick era, and you guys can weigh in as you'd like. They'll only have one pick tonight, theoretically. Might have none.
I know. I'm really hoping that if it's one, they move up, grab like a tight end in the 20s. That's what I'm hoping for. But I'm not going to hold my breath. They're probably going to trade out, and tomorrow night they're going to own the second round or something.
And they'll have a first-round pick for next year, too, or something like that.
Right.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Oh, did I bury the lead and tell you that...
Another lead?
It is also a free ticket Thursday.
Oh,
so
day.
We've got Red Sox tickets
what
that we're going
to... unbelievable
notice
day.
I said Red Sox tickets?
I heard you.
Maybe tomorrow we'll have some Browns tickets to give away.
No need to check the time, as it's...
We have noon 30.
Noon 30.
It's noon 30.
It's going to be the Wild West at noon 30. Dale's already warmed up to noon 30.
No, I haven't.
You just said noon 30.
Call that. What you called it for crying.
It's noon 30 with Dale and Keith.
We'll get to noon 30 in just a moment, but first, the ninth caller to 617-931-0937 wins a pair of tickets to see Boston take on Tampa Bay Saturday, April 27th, and a parking pass for the Prudential Center Garage during Free Ticket Thursday. Plus, qualify for a $50 Red Sox Team Store gift card brought to you by Town Fair Tire. For the best prices on tires, nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Ninth caller right now at 617-931-0937. Wins tickets during Free Ticket Thursday. All right.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Here's the intellectual exercise, which, let's be honest, both of us are playing with one hand tied behind our back.
This was quite an undertaking, Dale. I can't imagine anybody else in the world would be doing something like this, but this is important.
So Bill Belichick will, you know, send minions out to announce draft picks tonight, beginning, well, theoretically tonight, only the first round tonight.
Well, the commish does round one, right?
Yes.
The commish does round one, and then you have, like, celebrity players and, like, different, all kinds of people announce these picks going forward. But tonight is the commissioner. And
Gene Washington would be out there.
Yeah. Belichick has his scouting department do all this work all year long. They come up with all this information. They decide, like, then they give him the recommendations, and then Bill picks somebody that he wants.
Yep.
That none of those guys have ever even heard of.
All right. So we tried to figure out individually who are the five best draft picks of the Bill Belichick era, who are the five worst draft picks of the Bill Belichick era. And obviously, we started with the provision that we don't include Brady. He was head and shoulders the best draft pick, not only of the Belichick era, but of any era.
Any era of all time.
So we leave him off.
He's not on there. Everybody else is available starting in the year 2000 all the way up until last year's 2018. So you have 19 drafts to look at. Let's start because we're a very positive show, Dale. We will start with the five best draft picks. And I've already broken the rules because I have a quick honorable mention.
Oh.
Hi, I'm Jackie Britton with Patriots.com. And with the second pick of the fourth round, number 101 overall, the New England Patriots select Trey Flowers, defensive end from Arkansas.
That was a great pick.
It was,
obviously.
But you cheated.
I did, right out of the chute. I go, how about a top five?
Pick done
number
be,
six,
you cheated.
Number six is Trey Flowers. Think about that, pick 101. And that's a position where they've tried to draft guys, whether it's, you know, Derek Rivers as a third round pick or whoever. They've had other shots there. And Trey Flowers, maybe he could have even cracked the top five had they re-signed him and had he still been here and been a bigger part. But for that one rookie deal that he was on, he was great. Good gem there in the fourth round. All right, now we can start.
Now that you're done cheating.
Number five.
All right, well, I will start with number five on my list. Now, I will tell you that the way I looked at it, for the most part, is show me somebody that you got great value for.
Oh, okay.
So, in other words, you know, you picked a guy, maybe you got him a little lower than other people would look at, but man, look at what he's done for you.
These are the Bill Belichick real picks.
Oh, the guys that he really likes. And so number five on my list is Nate Ebner.
Dale.
Sixth round, 197th overall.
What?
In 2012.
Exactly. What list is this?
And has played 97 games for the New England Patriots.
Punt return, especially like a gunner.
Yep.
Wait a minute. So this team, which has won a million Super Bowls, I can't even count. The fifth best pick, named Tom Brady, is Nate Ebner.
I got others that are better, but yeah.
Well, no. But this is the fifth best pick.
Yes.
Nate Ebner,
yes,
who played rugby,
yes,
and they could have gotten off the street. They didn't even need to draft him,
but they did.
They didn't need to draft him. Am I crazy here, Rossi? What are we doing? Nate Ebner is the fifth best pick. I understand it's Dale's list, but I
don't agree with it.
I don't understand the exercise. I thought these were the best picks of the era.
Oh, I've got others that are better than him. Right. Oh,
but that's his number five.
That's his fifth best pick.
Yeah,
you got Trey Flowers as an honorable mention. I can only imagine
Ebner. You could he. What? Nobody else had him on the draft board. He's a rugby player.
There you go.
Okay, all right. My number five, the fifth best pick in the Bill Belichick era, not named Tom Brady, was a fourth round pick in 2014, number 130 overall, James White. James White has been a guy, they've always had that pass catching back, but you look at how good he has been in Super Bowls and in other playoff games, and I love the value there, getting him in the fourth round. I thought that was a great pick. And it looks like he's going to be here for a while. He's already carved out a nice career for himself, five, six seasons in the league. And I like what he has done. So to me, James White is the fifth best pick.
If you hated five, you'll probably hate four.
Oh, my God. How could I possibly?
Next on my list is Matthew Slater.
Oh, Jesus.
Fifth round, 153rd overall in 08. Has played 157 games. And I could make an argument.
Okay.
That if Tasker is going into the Hall of Fame as a special teams player.
Yeah.
This guy might go into the Hall of Fame as a special teams player.
Yeah, but has he had as much of an impact on the winning and losing as someone like James White has had?
I don't know about that.
No, he's a fifth round pick, but he easily could have been a street free agent. You didn't need to take either of those guys in the draft.
But you did, and look what they've done for you.
Okay, they've covered punts and kicks. You are really all in on the special teams. You are a three phases kind of guy.
I'm not done.
Oh, what? Who else is there? They didn't draft Kelly Washington. They signed him.
I got another one coming.
If it's Brandon Tate, I'm going to smack you in the mouth. I swear to God.
Is it Antoine Harris?
Yes, it is Antoine Harris. All right, my number four, and you can tell right away here, we have very different criteria for best draft picks. I'm going to 2004 in the first round, number 21 overall, Vince Wilfork. I think you're supposed to play that before I announce the pick, but either way.
The cadence isn't there.
I'm not Goodell. But Vince Wilfork, to me, first round pick, but they hit on it. An absolute hit. At one time, he was the best defensive tackle in the league, was a part of a ton of winning here. Just one of the best defensive fronts that they had, one of the best defensive fronts in the league. Vince was the anchor for that. And he was the guy that could have gone higher. And they grabbed him right at 21. I think it's one of the best picks they've ever had.
I love me some Vince Wilfork.
Yes.
I guess the difference is, I assume that if you take a guy 21st overall, he's supposed to be a good player.
Oh, don't assume. Look at the Jets, Bills, and Dolphins drafts.
But I look at Bill Belichick's drafts differently.
Well, all right.
And as we stated at the beginning of this,
you're a value guy.
Generally speaking, he's going to hit on first round picks.
He usually does. It's kind of dried up. Well, we'll see what Isaiah Wynn is. We'll see what Isaiah Wynn is. Sony Michel has gotten them in the right direction, but there's been some other guys that weren't. So that was number four.
I start with the assumption that if he's picking somebody in the first round, they're going to be a hell of a player for you.
But there's also been a wide range, too, right? I mean, you know, Brandon Merriweather was a starting safety, but he certainly wasn't the best at his position like Vince Wilfork was. Number three.
Number three on my list, fourth round. 118th overall in 06. Steven Gostkowski.
Dale, what is this exercise? The best special teamers?
200 games he has played. and by the way, has signed up to play more now. Fourth round, 118th overall, and he's been your kicker for
kicker.
How many years?
He's been your kicker.
How many years?
I don't know. You could grab anybody. They could have had Robbie Gould. They had Shane Graham for a year. He did just fine. The kicker and two gunners? This team has won six Super Bowls.
Put the gunners to the side. This is a good choice.
What? He's a kicker.
These
are the best football players, I thought.
I don't have to defend Dale's pick.
No, I know you don't, but you're
trying
to.
He's been here longer than Adam Vinatieri was
here.
And I understand the memories of it, but he's been a great kicker for this team.
Has he? Has he missed a kick in every Super Bowl and every AFC Championship game recently?
Not every.
Well, I don't know. Crunch those numbers for me.
I'm going to do it right now.
I think he has. I'll give you credit for the one thing is Gostkowski would have been drafted. Ebner and Slater would not have been drafted. So I'll give you that. So again,
I got another guy coming who might not have been drafted either.
I could absolutely throw up in my mouth listening to these.
I'm trying to think of how many others. Is it King? Who else?
Brandon King, yeah. Good. Brandon Bolden on your list? All right. My number three, round one from 2001.
Round one, gee. What
number
a shock
six,
that guy pans
out. Richard
sixth overall.
Seymour.
What a shock. A sixth
Richard
overall
Seymour.
Pick to play?
Yes.
Whoa.
Not always. That's not always the case. Look at some other number six picks. Look around the league.
The sixth pick in the 2001 draft, New England Patriots select Richard Seymour, defensive tackle from Georgia.
Guy's a Hall of Famer. At least, well, should be a Hall of Famer. He's not yet, but he should be a Hall of Famer.
I happen to agree with you, he should be.
But there was a lot of scuttlebutt that they were going to take David Terrell.
Wow, the sixth overall pick worked out.
They could have taken David Terrell.
Color me shocked.
They could have taken David Terrell, and they did. Teams have taken first overall picks that don't work out. Dale, it's happened.
Not here, but yes.
It's happened.
You don't want it to happen here. All right, my number two pick on my list of five best draft picks of the Bill Belichick era.
There it is. That's nice. There you go.
Seventh overall. Seventh round, I should say, 232nd overall in 09, Julian Edelman.
We agree. That is also my number two as well. That is a good one. I mean, that is – now, that was kind of throwing a dart, but good Lord, did that hit.
And my guess is they probably didn't know that he was going to turn into a slot-wide receiver for you.
No.
I mean, I'm not sure what they thought he was going to do. I've never heard
athlete?
Them say.
Like they,
yeah,
you know,
we'll figure out what to do with him when we get
– right.
But when you take a guy in the seventh round, 232nd overall, he's played 115 regular season games for you, playoff games, the things that he's put up.
Super Bowl MVP. From the seventh round.
Yeah.
I mean, that is just outrageous. And he's still going. He's still adding to those numbers. And even though I don't think he's a Pro Football Hall of Famer, we had that discussion, and it wasn't tongue-in-cheek, you know, this past year. We were really talking about whether Edelman would be there or not. So I think I can assume that our number one pick for both of us, the best pick outside of Brady, is probably the same one.
Second round, 42nd overall, 2010, Rob Gronkowski.
I mean,
with the 42nd pick in the 2010 NFL Drafts, the New England Patriots select Rob Gronkowski, tight end, Arizona.
And then a mosh pit ensued on the stage.
With his helmet on.
Put the helmet on. His brothers were all headbutting each other. That was the first time we got to experience Gronk as a Patriots fan. It was draft day. It was the second round back in 2010, like you said. And there he was celebrating with his family. And we're like, I think we had no idea exactly what we were going to be in for going back 9 years ago.
While we say that, you know, like, Richard Seymour should be in the Hall of Fame, Rob Gronkowski will be.
Yes, 100%. He will 100%
be in the
Hall
of Fame. I mean, given what he's accomplished in the course of his career, and granted, he was only available at 42nd because of physical issues. I understand that.
But hey.
But Belichick and the Patriots took the chance. They picked him 42nd overall. He turned into a Hall of Fame player like their quarterback that they got in the sixth round. So other than Brady, Rob Gronkowski, the best draft pick of the Bill 100%. Belichick era.
So Dale and I agree, Gronk and Edelman, the top two picks. Where we really disagree is picks 3 through 5. I say Seymour, Wilfork, White. Dale says Gostkowski, Slater, Ebner. So please call it.
I had David Gibbons on the list, too. I went back and forth.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
David Gibbons, Ebner and Gibbons.
David Gibbons.
That's your honorable mention.
Yeah.
We're not allowed honorable mentions. I believe in rules.
All right.
The bottom 5 draft picks, the worst draft picks of the Bill Belichick era, are coming up next.
Follow Dale on Twitter at Dale E. Arnold. This is Dale and Keith on the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
You are really all in on the special teams. You are a 3 phases kind of guy.
I'm not done.
Oh, what? Who else is there?
I think it's fairly safe to say we approached this exercise, at least that part of it, from different perspectives.
That's a little different. Yep.
It seems sort of silly to me that you thought the 6th overall pick in the draft, you know, you're shocked that he worked out, but that's
they
just
They don't
me.
Always. We can go back in the history of the number 6 pick if you want. They don't always hit. Not to that level. The Hall of Famer. All right,
should be.
Want to get to the worst?
Yeah, this one is probably easier because I think we have similar criteria for this.
I think we have 4 of the same 5. But I, of course, will start with an honorable mention. Nate Ebner.
Of course you did. A worst draft pick ever?
No, my honorable mention would be round 2, 2003, number 45 overall, Bethel Johnson. Sort of one of the marquee guys when you look at receivers that they could not draft.
Yeah, we all kind of agree that
it did not work out.
That didn't work out. All right, I will give you my number 5 pick.
All right.
On the worst draft picks of Bill Belichick's era. 3rd round, 90th overall, 2010, Taylor Price.
Oof, that was terrible. And that was bad at the time.
6 games here.
6?
6.
Played 6 games, and he also played at Ohio, not Ohio State.
Right.
Played at Ohio, and they didn't even throw the ball. So he was one of these like blocking wide receivers that like looked good in a uniform, but even at the time, like at least Bethel Johnson, you were like, hey, he's super fast, played at a real school, right. Maybe he'll work. Taylor Price, when he got drafted, nobody thought he was going to be good, and he wasn't terrible. All right, my number 5, and then we have the same top 4, goes back to the 2016 draft.
With the 60th selection in the 2016 NFL draft, the New England Patriots select Cyrus Jones, defensive back, Alabama.
Cyrus Jones was a cornerback who couldn't cover and a punt returner who couldn't catch a punt.
But other than that,
holy smokes, he played in a total of 12 games for the Patriots. That was over the course of 2 different seasons. He had an injury in there, which actually kept him on the roster longer than he would have been. He also got a bunch of chances because they're like, hey, he's a second-round pick. He returned a couple of punts for a score against Michigan State, and he had a bunch against like a bad team too. But either way, that one just did not work. And he said, great, he can field punts so Amendola and Edelman don't have to. Wrong. He could play corner. Wrong. And so that was a disaster.
So then we've got some second-round picks here that just did not work out.
No, they did not.
I mean, you've got your choice. I've got several second-round picks here. But
same.
But I'll start with Rasai Dowling.
Oh, terrible.
Second round, 33rd overall, 2011. Played 12 games here.
12 games, which actually seems high.
It
I don't
seemed
remember
more
any
than he should have. Yeah.
And that was another one. That was the first pick of the second round.
Yep.
And that started out that Friday night or whenever when he got drafted back in 2011. And I don't know who came up with the nickname, but it's one of the greatest of all time. Ross IR Dowling.
It works.
He was a guy who was hurt in high school. This is real. When they had the scouting report, they're like, he was hurt in high school and he was hurt throughout his college career, but look at him now. You're like, no, he's hurt again. Like that was one, and that's the problem is they hit on somebody like Rob Gronkowski, an injured guy.
And then
you talk yourself into, well, that guy was hurt, but maybe he won't be in the pros. It's like, I don't know. Rasai Dowling absolutely killed him. Another one of those second-round picks. This was from 2009. Number 40 overall, Ron Brace. The Ron Brace era was...
We kept waiting for Ron. When's Ron Brace going to play? Never.
No, he doesn't. He's doesn't play. Play much. Bit of a healthy scratch at times. He was terrible. Like, there's no way around it. That was a year they had 4 second-round picks in 09. Patrick Chung, Ron Brace, Darius Butler, and Sebastian Vollmer.
Couple of them hit.
Couple of them did hit, especially when they got Patrick Chung back. He was even better. But Ron Brace did, believe it or not, play in a total of 39 games over four seasons with the Patriots.
That seems high
too, doesn't it? But it does. He's really high. Spread out over four seasons, and he has not been in the league since 2012.
All right, I'll give you another second-round pick that failed. Second round, 62nd overall in 2008. Terrence Wheatley.
Terrence Wheatley was a terrible one.
Another 12 games.
That was awful. And I got one, the second round pick. This was, again, maybe scared them away from moving up the draft. Also scared them away from drafting wide receivers high. 2006.
Oh, yeah.
Second round pick. Number 36 overall. So very early in the second round. Chad Jackson. Just a real shame.
And we are in complete agreement on what we think is the worst draft pick of the Bill Belichick era.
With the 29th pick in the 2014 NFL Draft, the New England Patriots select Dominic Easley, defensive end, Florida.
Another guy who had ACL surgery on both knees, or double ACL surgery on both knees. Like, he was an injury risk. Now, somebody, was this Mayock or McShay? One of these guys, Rossi, was actually a real fan of the pick at the time.
This is our good friend over in Oakland now, Mike Mayock.
Oh, Mayock, thank you.
Easley is one of the best value picks in this draft. He was a top 30 pick until he tore his ACL.
Well, he was still a top 30 pick.
Yeah, he was a 29.
He tore his ACL. Yeah. They took him inside the top 30. Mayock obviously has had a history of defending the Patriots and talking about how good Ryan Mallett was and his arm strength. But Dominic Easley, that was one where you're like, well, this guy was already hurt. And same thing. He spent 2 seasons in New England, played in a total of 22 games for the Patriots. Again, seems like more than I certainly remember. But that was really the first, and again, Isaiah Wynn is to be determined. That is the one first-round pick that you could say was a disaster. Didn't even make it through his rookie year. They cut him after 2 seasons.
By the way, we know that Ron Brace died in 2016. We know that. Rich's point was that he didn't play after 2012.
No, he's not. Right, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, like, he was out of the league in 2012.
He was out of the league in 2012. We know that he passed away in 2016. Which made, by the way, this whole injury thing, like Easley and those others, makes me wonder about this Jeffrey Simmons thing.
Yeah.
The defensive tackle from Mississippi State that we talked about with Tom E. Curran tore his ACL in February. Sounds like the kind
value pick. Yeah, I could see it happening. Yeah.
So maybe he'll be on that list as well. 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Text line is 37937. It's Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.